Let me introduce myself. My name is Denis Magda. Today I'm representing Apache Ignite community, one of the top projects of the foundation. I'm Apache Ignite committer for many years, and presently I'm in the role of Apache Ignite PMC chair. So today you can say that the community nominated me just to go to this conference and present our results of work on machine learning component. And in regards to the machine learning, the goal of this presentation is to show what were the main drivers and objectives for machine learning support on Apache Ignite end. I'll give you a quick introduction to Apache Ignite. Basically, that's a in-memory computing platform, memory-centric database. There are different definitions of Apache Ignite, but the primary reason why machine learning was supported for Apache Ignite is to be able to train your models to run machine learning workloads at scale across a cluster of machines at petabyte scale, at terabyte scale, depending on your needs. And continuous learning is another interesting area of machine learning in general that lets us to train, update, validate our models across our operational data sets so that you can minimize or avoid, in general, ETL of your data, ETLing of your data from data warehouses to your operational data stores. Also here is, you can find my Twitter account. Shall you have any questions or interest in Apache Ignite, machine learning, or any other components of Ignite, feel free to reach me after this presentation over Twitter, etc. So the agenda for today will be straightforward. First of all, before we dive into the details of machine learning component in Ignite, I'd like to provide some reasoning why we created this component. What were the primary objectives? After that, you will hear a high-level overview of Apache Ignite itself. So what it is, so that we can be on the same page here. And after that, we will be talking about high-level machine learning internals and details, such as what are the algorithms supported by Ignite, how they work, why we integrated with TensorFlow to enable deep learning for Ignite, and also at the end of the presentation, I'll show you, I'll spend some time on the exploration of a bit of internals, how distributed training works, how we distribute the data, how we assure that everything works, can work like pretty well at scale, in fault-tolerant fashion, etc., etc. As a disclaimer, I am not a machine learning component committer in particular, but I know Apache Ignite extensively. I'm one of the committers. And at the same time, my level of understanding of machine learning component in Ignite itself will make this conversation productive. If any of you will have any sophisticated or deep-level questions around machine learning, I always will be able to connect you to our machine learning committers at Ignite. So let's start with a 5 minutes guide to Apache Ignite. So first of all, let's see what was the primary reason why we at Apache Ignite decided to develop machine learning support. So the primary reason is scalability. Originally, when Apache Ignite was created many years ago, it was trying to solve the scalability problem for operational data stores. Let's say like the mobile revolution, big data revolution, IoT, everything is taking place nowadays. In all of those revolutions, they generated massive amount of data that has to be stored in our architectures, in our stores, and the data that has to be processed in a timely manner. And that's why there was a range of different storage solutions that emerged during those times, like data warehouses like Hadoop, NoSQL databases, other distributed systems. And Ignite emerged as a memory computing platform that can cache and store data across a cluster of machines in memory and provided APIs needed for transactional operations, for SQL, etc., so that companies who wanted to enable, let's say, horizontally scalable solution for their existing systems are able to do that in a fast manner. preserving the existing data structures. And this scalability problem is now being solved, right, by a variety of different products. You know that cloud vendors like Amazon, Microsoft, and others, if you go there, you can find a distributed version of their storage like Microsoft Azure or Google Spanner, et cetera, et cetera. All of those distributed relational databases, NoSQL databases, we accept them as something that existed for a while. But the general driver was the scalability issue. When data sets needed for operational workloads and then for analytical workloads could not fit in the boundaries of single machine. And what we see with machine learning nowadays is the same problem. The data sets which we'd like to use for training, for preparation of our machine learning models, is hard to fit in the boundaries of a single machine. Sometimes you can, but it can be really expensive for you. And here is, I can share one interesting conversation I had with a friend of mine who is the CTO of one of the Silicon Valley companies. And that company, what they do, they work with their customers who give them different data sets and asking, you know, to prepare, train special machine learning models and customize some machine learning APIs. And I met that person at one of the conferences. That was some distributed databases conference. He was looking for a distributed solution that would be able to store ever-growing data sets of his customers that he has to analyze, train, and basically sell the results of his work. And his basic response was like, I was saying, why do you need like a distributed system? He was saying that, let's say that 2 years ago, when the customer would come to me, are you able just to take the data set in gigabytes or a couple of terabytes and like that, a dozen of gigabytes and feed it into one kind of in several instances of Amazon Cloud? Nowadays, they're coming with much more data. And for me, it became unprofitable to rent any machines on Amazon. Because yes, I can just buy some expensive machine, rent some expensive machine from Amazon, but then like it will take me many days or hours, you know, just to prepare some machine learning model, and it will be just not cost effective for me. That's not a business. And he was looking for a solution that would let him distribute data sets across commodity hardware and use some distributed APIs, machine learning APIs, to prepare different machine learning models. We were talking about Spark, we were talking about Apache Ignite, just to find what the best fit for his use case. But that's like what we see from those who make business on machine learning. They started looking for distributed solutions. Another problem that is not that critical, I think that's my personal opinion, yet, is that presently machine learning models are trained and used in different systems. And I'll show you the next slide. So right now, the major use case for machine learning, it's called before, but I would probably rename it to now, still now, that we have some application that can work with some operational data store. And here is, for that operational data store the application already has some machine learning model deployed. Then over the time, the data is being updated, we would ETL this data to our data warehouse, or another analytical system that would store month or weeks worth of data, and then over the time we would run and advance our machine learning models, our machine learning algorithms. And then when the next production cycle would come, we would update our machine learning model on our production end. The attempt which we were trying to solve with Apache Ignite community, like one of the design principles which we put into Apache Ignite machine learning, is that if a customer stores operational data together with, let's say, historical data in Ignite, like several days worth or like week worth data, then give some APIs for those data scientists and developers so that they can use the same system, the same storage, to evaluate their machine learning models and to update them, avoiding ETL. Here is, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say that Apache Ignite is just one storage for everything, that just would be misleading. But what we see that Ignite is used a lot for operational workloads like banks, financial systems, retail, etc., that require SQL, transactions, compute. And also, right now we see another use case that is emerging, so-called HTAP, hybrid transactional analytical processing, is then when you just take your operational data, mix it with a subset of historical data for several days, etc. You store it in Ignite and you run more advanced operations. Data warehouses still will stay. Ignite is not a data warehouse. And even with this architecture, I do believe that it will be possible to avoid at least a part of the ETL process. For those machine learning models that do not require, let's say, years or months worth of data. So it will be possible. And that was the primary reason, right? Scalability issue, why we created Ignite, by definition, was scalability product, scalable product. And we saw that machine learning applications and solutions were hitting the same problems. And also, we designed machine learning component with an ability to have that continuous learning principle. When you can have and retrain your model over the operational and historical data you keep in Ignite. What's Apache Ignite? As I said, there are different definitions. Different people define it the way they like. So some of the guys name it in-memory computing platform. Sometimes you can see that Apache is named as memory-centric database or caching platform. All of those definitions fit the purpose and the feature set of Apache Ignite. To make it simple, I define in Ignite two primary components. The first one component is its storage, memory-centric storage. And the memory-centric storage implies that you can keep data in memory. In Ignite, by default, initially, originally, was created as a memory solution. And also, when it comes to persistence, you can persist data with Ignite. But with persistence, you have two options. You can reuse your existing third-party storage, like relational database or NoSQL database. You don't need to rip and replace it. Or you can enable Ignite native persistence that is also transactional, supports all the APIs, etc., etc. If anybody would like to know more details about the persistence differences, we can discuss it later. And on top of that first component, which is the storage, we built a variety of APIs for different needs. SQL is one of the most widely used processing languages, then transactions. MapReduce, like framework, we call it Compute Grid, and machine and deep learning. That was probably the latest API that we added to the product. And just another quick slide about Ignite. There are two primary modes how Apache Ignite is being deployed and used in production. The first one is when you use a third-party persistence. Let's say that you have your Oracle or Postgres-based solution, and you need to accelerate your application. You can take Ignite and deploy it as in memory. Cache is in memory storage on top of your relational database, switch your applications to Ignite, and that's how you can achieve speed and scale with minimal disruption to your existing solutions. So here is the goal of this use case. We call it a memory data grid, which is basically in-memory cache with brains. So the difference between a memory data grid and in-memory cache, in my definition, is that with in-memory data grid as a cache, can store data across a cluster of machines. But in addition to that, you have access to the APIs of SQL, transactions, MapReduce like APIs, etc., etc. And another use case which you can find emerging for new applications or for those who would like to get more benefits of Ignite, it's when you keep using Ignite in memory storage, but you also, for the persistence needs, you enable our native persistence. And especially this use case, it's called a memory database or system of records use case. That one is of more interest for us if we use machine learning APIs. Because as we know, with machine learning, it also depends on our budget. Even if the system is scalable, we might not afford to keep everything in RAM. Yes, like if it's about gigabytes or like dozens of gigabytes, but when it comes to terabytes or petabytes, not everyone can afford, you know, keep everything in RAM. It's not reasonable. And that's why here is with Ignite persistence, you do not keep all the data sets in RAM. The 100% of the data will be stored in Ignite persistence, and a subset of the data will be kept in RAM, depending on how much RAM you have in your cluster. And what's good here, you don't need to, like, for you as a developer, I will be showing you some of the APIs, machine learning APIs we have in Ignite. For you as a developer, everything is transparent. You don't need to know by default how the data is distributed, how much data is in RAM, how much data is in disk. You just use the APIs and Ignite internally. If Ignite sees that if something like is missing in RAM, like some records are missing in RAM, it will go to disk and pull it from there. Everything happens in the background. All right, that's about Apache Ignite. Any questions so far? Probably if you have any questions about Ignite. All right, let's move on. Machine learning. Now let's review machine learning component of Ignite. So the primary topic of the conversation. So machine learning, again, from the API standpoint, from Ignite's API standpoint, it's built around our distributed storage. So the way why machine learning APIs are highly performant and can scale out as long as you scale your cluster is that everything is well integrated into the storage, into the way how Ignite stores the data, how Ignite distributes the data, and how you run the computations. When it comes to the specific machine learning APIs, our machine learning committers initially decided, you know, just to take the most straightforward approach. Let's implement the first classical algorithms required for machine learning tasks. And the first algorithms were like logistic regression, k-means clustering, decision trees, etc., etc. All of them are available in Ignite. And all of them are implemented for a distributed system. You will see the APIs. For us, as developers and data scientists, you will not see any difference. The API looks like you're working with a single machine environment, but in fact, that can be hundreds machine environment. When it comes to the languages, by default, everything is supported for Java. Also, we are about to release Python support for machine learning APIs. So the component is already ready for production usage, and it's being advanced with every Ignite release. Let's quickly check, like, what are the right now, like, I'm going just to walk you through the slides that are pretty common. I just want to show you that all of the primary machine learning problems and tasks can be solved with Ignite itself. So let's say the classification problem. For instance, as you know, a typical example would be someone's wife's credit card, and a banking system needs to decide whether that's a fraudulent transaction or not. Classification algorithms of this type, classifications, are widely used for credit card authorization tasks and needs to determine whether a transaction is fraudulent or not. So that's one of the business examples. And to solve classification tasks, Ignite provides you algorithms, realizations for regressions, decision trees, random forest, etc. Another set of problems that is being solved by machine learning, as we know, is related to regressions. Here is probably, just to remind all of us, a typical example would be something related to the prices. Let's say that I own a house and I'd like to sell this house in 3 years from now, and I'd like to predict the price. There are different machine learning models, so like different insurance companies that like to, from which you'd like to buy an insurance for your house. They use different price-based machine learning models to predict the price in the future. And regressions are a good solution for that type of tasks. In Ignite, again, regressions, linear regressions, decision trees, you'll get access to those APIs. And finally, clustering, tasks related to the clustering. Here is, if to give you final example related to the business use cases, let's say that everyone, I think, uses Amazon, right, marketplace. But sometimes when you land on the marketplace that is being used by millions of people, you have a feeling that marketplace is designed for you because all the recommendations, suggestions, somehow captured your behavioral patterns, your purchase patterns, etc., etc. And those types of recommendations sometimes are being done based on the work of clustering algorithms. When you, as a buyer, as a visitor to the marketplace, belong to some specific group of people, for instance, who like to watch action movies of this kind, or those who'd like to read books of specific authors. That's how this clustering works. And with Ignite, it's also doable to train your clustering models at scale with K-means clustering or JMM APIs. This slide, our machine learning committers just asked me to include to this presentation for those who deal with deep learning. So, and the story here is pretty interesting. Originally, the guys stepped on a path of implementing deep learning APIs. But then as a community, we just, you know, decided that let's step back. Why do we do this? It made sense to support classical machine learning APIs for Ignite, because machine learning is already in mainstream adoption. It's being used by a wide range of applications and companies, et cetera, et cetera. When it comes to deep learning, personally, I wouldn't say that we are close to the mainstream adoption yet. And that's why the decision was, folks, let's just reuse some existing APIs, some existing framework for deep learning tasks. Let's not reinvent the wheel for Ignite, at least yet. And that's why that's the only native deep learning API that is available in Ignite at the moment. All the other deep learning capabilities are available through TensorFlow integration. And I'll spend some of the time later on the coverage of that integration. Okay, now let's quickly check the source code, how everything looks like from the API standpoint. So first of all, as you see here, Ignite cache, like that's the way how we name our tables. In relational databases, you have tables. In Ignite, we have caches historically. So here is what we do. The first line, we read some sample data set that will be used for model training and testing. That's one of the titanium data sets that is available for models validation everywhere. Then we are creating vectorizer. So here is we are saying that we are going to use column 1, 5, and 6 for the model training, and also one of the columns is used as a feature column. After that, we decided to use decision tree classification. We create the subject. The fourth line, it's all that simple. We start our training. The training takes place in background, and after that, you can use evaluator APIs to assess your model, and if needed, you can tweak some of the parameters and re-execute your training. Just basic stuff, right? Nothing new, nothing excited. The only one thing is that all of that, this API is what you as a developer or data scientist see in use, write in your application code, while in background, that API might be working with a cluster of dozens of machines, hundreds or thousands, depending on your use case. Another interesting API that is available in the latest Apache Ignite releases is machine learning pipelining. As we know, right, what are the pipelines in machine learning? So the pipeline is just a several-step process that takes your raw data and turns that raw data in a well-tuned, defined machine learning model. So usually, originally, when as a data scientist, you know that we will take this raw data and we would pre-process it. Some of the columns might be missing in some of the records. Something might require cleaning, etc., etc. You need to have pre-processing APIs. That's the first step. After that, you split the data set and you start training, right? Again and again, then you can evaluate your model. The new data can arrive, and you can repeat this process until you're satisfied with your machine learning model. And from the API's perspective in Ignite, again, let's say that that's how you can create pipelines with Ignite. First line, again, that's sort of Ignite table. You load data in Ignite in your cluster. After that, you are defining your vectorizer, enlisting columns that will be used for training. And after that, you're building this pipeline. Vectorizers, some pre-processing APIs, then you train the data, and final line, that's where the training takes place. And then you can re-execute this API again and again whenever the new data arrives. And also, like, how everything is related to continuous learning, because the title of this talk presentation says continuous learning. Here is the primary idea is to give you an ability to retrain your models in your in your primary storage, if you can afford that. Let's say that new data arrives, you already have machine learning model deployed, and you'd like to update your existing machine learning model with newly arrived data. With Ignite, that's how you can do it. The first two lines, that's, for instance, what you could do several days ago. You just created that model, you trained it, you deployed it, and now you are happy, you use it in production. Then let's say today a new chunk of data arrived, you decided that you need to reevaluate your model, and that's what you can do. You're building another model based on the previous one with newly arrived data. And that's what you can do from the same application based on your logic. That's what we call continuous learning. So from the API standpoint, that's, you know, just one extra method that was added to the Ignite APIs that takes an original model, new data set, and produces an updated model in that continuous fashion. All right, let's quickly take a break and run a quick demo. I'll show you what we as developers and data scientists can do with Ignite.
I have a question.
Sure.
For continuous learning,
Does
machine learning algorithm supposed to be like online machine learning algorithm? So does that continuous machine learning is like bounded by the algorithm, machine learning algorithm? Does it depend on?
Yeah, so like I think that that's the question is this continuous learning, is it driven by an algorithm? So like the question is it? Yeah, so an idea here is that there are different trainers, right?
Yeah.
And if we check the APIs, most likely most of the machine learning algorithms will support this fashion. But there might be some of the gaps, right? At least with this linear classification, continuous learning is available for you. Hopefully it's available for the rest of the APIs. Okay, let's quickly check the demo. I'm switching to my development environment. So with Ignite, what's interesting about Ignite, as with classical relational databases or other storages, you don't need to request a dedicated environment if you're just, you know, doing your first baby steps with the APIs, with your algorithms. You just deploy the system, you run the cluster, local cluster, on your personal laptop, you run some calculations. Once you are ready, you know, to train, deploy, or test your solution at scale, after that you go to your IT department requesting some more machines, you deploy a bigger cluster, and you run the same application over the larger data set. So what I have here, okay, let me make the font size bigger. Okay, now it's better. So the first line, let's start a server node. A server node in Ignite is the node that keeps data set, a portion of your data. I'm going to start a couple of nodes. And basically, what we call a cluster is a set of several server nodes interconnected. So right now here is, you can see that I have a cluster of one server node. So just one database, like of one machine. Let me start one more server node on the same laptop, because I just want to ensure that the data is distributed even on this limited environment. Now you can see that my cluster was scaled, and now I have two nodes.
When you run another node, how does this node know of the previous node?
That's a good question. So here is, I have a hint. All you need to do, yes, I'm defining special networking component. We call it discovery. Like, they need to discover each other. And here is, I'm saying that all of my nodes will be deployed on my local host in this port range. And so basically when each node starts, it will be traversing these port numbers trying to find another node. That's what happened in background. When you deploy, let's say, in cloud, Kubernetes, there are different IP finders that are available in Ignite, because sometimes you cannot predefine IP addresses, like with Docker or with Kubernetes. Sometimes you can. Here is I could. And now let's start my application that is used for this application takes, let me show what it does. So basically this application also will be using the same networking settings. It will be able to discover those two server nodes. We are starting this application. That's your, let's say that you have your web application, etc. And inside of that web application, you are including our jar files, and that's like how you open connection to Ignite cluster. That will be your primary object reference. After that, what you do, we are creating two caches, two tables. One table will be used for training data set, the other is for the testing data set. After that, we are loading data from the CSWIFT file. So the data set is the data set of fraudulent transactions. And it's used to tune your models if you, let's say, want to use them for credit card authorization. We decided to use logistic regression trainer, some of the parameters. We train our model. And after that, we are validating this model over the training data set. So I'll skip. It's just some basic Java code with the mix of machine learning, patterns, and Ignite APIs. And in the end, we are just trying to output how well our machine learning model performs. So the accuracy is pretty well enough, even though we didn't do a lot of tuning. And actually, something has broken here. Let me see. I think that the font size... now it's better. So true positives. Our machine learning model identified more than 1,420 good transactions. And also there were fraudulent transactions. There were some of the mistakes, as we see. But overall, the primary purpose of this presentation was to show you that, yes, even though you are dealing with a distributed system, you can start working with this distributed system on a single machine. After you are sure that you are ready to tune and test and everything at scale, just take the same application, deploy it in cloud, and as for the Ignite cluster nodes, you can use, the same API. You just start in your cluster nodes on big machines, and you start training your data sets. If you'd like to explore other machine learning examples, just download Apache Ignite from the website. That's the latest Ignite version. And here is in the examples folder, you will find machine learning, regressions, selections, trees, etc., tutorial. Just go Google for Ignite, download it, and then you can experiment with machine learning APIs. All right. Okay, question?
Yes.
Sure.
So you started three nodes. What was the purpose of other two nodes? What were they doing when you ran the third node? Uh-huh. Because the results were outputted by the third one. I'm just curious, what were the other two nodes doing at the time?
So with two nodes, that's how big is your cluster? I mean, you decided by, during this presentation, I just wanted you to show that everything will work in a distributed fashion. Even though for my local laptop, most likely it didn't make sense to have two nodes.
The data was still living.
But the data was distributed.
Oh, I see.
Yes, even when you start two nodes, Ignite internally would redistribute the data so that each node keeps a subset of the data.
So then, I think that data in the CSV files, they are spread across the
right. Right. And let's say if you decide to deploy a third node, then it will join the cluster, and then some of the data will be kind of moved to that new node from the two existing ones.
Do you use Zookeeper or anything for coordination between the nodes, or?
There is some kind of internal APIs developed for Ignite needs.
So
Does the training actually run in the cluster, or does it
yes.
run on the machine?
On the on the server nodes.
Okay.
Yeah, on the server nodes. So the goal, like, and here is that's actually a good question, because sometimes we have a question like why you created machine learning APIs if you have Spark machine learning. The primary reason is that, and here's we're not competing to Spark, we are just complementing Spark for some of the use cases. With Spark, it's a processing engine, compute engine, and Spark has to pull data from other data sources. With Ignite, like as distributed system developers, we knew that one of the primary bottlenecks in distributed systems is the network. So if you can eliminate data movement over the network, then you can achieve kind of huge performance benefits. And the purpose of Ignite machine learning model, machine learning component creation, was that it was first driven by our users and customers. They were asking, guys, we already store a lot of the data in Ignite, we use this for this and that. Don't make us, you know, to develop our custom machine learning APIs. Just why don't you have machine learning APIs available for Ignite? And our machine learning APIs are integrated into the storage. So they know all of those machine learning models when you start the training, etc. They know how the data is distributed. And all of those training and computations will take place on your server nodes with minimal data movement.
But that means data locality.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have some of the slides. I have some of the slides in the end of the presentation. I'll show you how the data distribution works in Ignite and how the training takes place. Okay, let's wait. I have a few more slides left. I'll be fast. Just quickly, we'll click through them. All right. TensorFlow, that's our present deep learning story. What did we do for TensorFlow? Here is, it's all simple. Ignite can be used as a data source for TensorFlow, which means that you use TensorFlow APIs for your deep learning tasks, and then TensorFlow will be pulling data from Ignite. So here is, you have that data movement over the network. And we were trying to see how with the first version of the integration, we can minimize the data movement between Ignite and TensorFlow. And I think that we came up with a workable pattern. Let's say that you have 10 machines allocated to you for your TensorFlow nodes. And if you deploy 10 Ignite nodes close to 10 TensorFlow nodes, then there will be at least locality between a TensorFlow node and Ignite node. And then when you would run a TensorFlow calculation, the TensorFlow node will go to the local node of Ignite, which is deployed on the same machine. Yes, the data still will be moved from Ignite to TensorFlow, but it will be moved in the boundaries of the local machine, not cluster-wide. That's what we tried. This pattern might work. I do believe that it will not work for all of the use cases, but for some of the applications, that should suit pretty well. So the main features, just to repeat. You use TensorFlow Python APIs. If needed, Ignite can automatically create, span TensorFlow nodes, etc., and to take care of maintenance. Also, minimization of ETL costs. That's like when, if you deploy TensorFlow nodes close to Ignite nodes, at least you can move data within the boundaries of local machine. And fault tolerance for both Ignite and TensorFlow instances, we'll check it later. So generally speaking, Ignite, by definition, as a distributed system, is fault tolerant, highly available. If you follow some principles, like at least for a primary copy of the data, you store a backup or copy of the data. And TensorFlow also has its own context, right? If you, when you run TensorFlow tasks, if anything fails, you can restart later. And everything with Ignite and TensorFlow is incorporated. So if everything fails in the middle of the execution, then you can restart, and Ignite and TensorFlow will proceed from the point of failure. Okay, let's talk about these internals. And I do believe that these slides will help us to understand more of how data is distributed in Ignite and why distributed machine learning training is sufficient with our framework. So is Ignite, like in this slide, in my demo, I studied two nodes. Here we have three nodes, but the primary idea is that you are benefiting from horizontal scalability. Depending on your data size, you start as many nodes as you need. And all the data will be distributed across memory and disk if you use Ignite Native Persistence. How the data gets mapped from, let's say, like how Ignite or our application knows where the data, a specific record, has to be stored. Here is everything is trivial. We know how hash tables work, right? This hash table, whenever you put a key into the data structure, that key will be mapped to a specific bucket. With distributed systems like Ignite, also, the process is similar. Our application, let's say, does SQL insert or like some put operation with the primary key. Then, once your application executes this API, Ignite internally on your application end, we'll take this key, calculate the hash code, and we'll map this hash code to a partition. All the data in Ignite is split and stored in partitions. Like sharding is pretty similar concept, like when you shard your data, we partition the data. Sometimes I find it hard to, I forget what's the difference, but for me it's like sharding or partitioning. Sometimes it might be, they share some of the basic principles. And this mapping from the key to partition is constant, it never changes. But what changes is mapping from partition to your primary node, a node that stores a primary copy of this record. That can change during the lifetime of your cluster, when you add new nodes or when you remove nodes from your existing cluster. Because when you add a new node, a partition might be redistributed to another one, which means that when the next time your application will be running the same query, that request can go to another node. But the primary thing here is that for us as application developers, all this happens in the background. We don't need to care about this. We just run our key value operations, SQL operations, etc., and Ignite redirects all the queries to the right nodes, depending on the state of your cluster. And here is like relation between caches and partitions. Again, as I said, all the data is Ignite is stored in partitions. By default in Ignite, we have around, for each cache or table, you have around 1,000 of partitions. And then when you have two nodes, most likely 500 of partitions will be stored on one node, the other part on the other node. And then when you start putting your, let's say, key value pairs, your records into the cluster, some records will go to partition one, the other records can go to partition two. When it comes, and how does it look at the cluster level? Let's say here is I have four nodes, and the cluster decided that the primary copy of partition 0 would be on node 1, the primary copy of partition 3 would be on node 4. How do we achieve high availability and fault tolerance? The first and the more straightforward step is just to enable backup copies, like you do with Mongo, Cassandra, or any other distributed database. It's all that simple. The only difference in Ignite is that in Ignite we don't have a notion of master nodes or slave nodes. All the nodes are equal. They are equal in the sense of, let's say, this node 1 is a primary node for all of the data that is stored in partition 0, which means that if my application issues any requests for the data that is stored in partition 0, then all of those requests will go to node 1 automatically. At the same time, node 3 is primary for partition 2, which means that all of the requests for data sitting in this partition will go to this node. But at the same time, both node 1 and node 2 are backup nodes for partitions 2 and 3. So that's how each node, you know, plays the roles of both a master and like a slave node, or master and backup copy. And that lets you to distribute the data evenly and utilize all of your nodes equally, depending on the data distribution. And yeah, here is like another final example. Let's say this node fails, which means that we lost the primary copy of partition 1 and backup copy of partition 0. But can our application continue working without issues? Yes, it can in Ignite. Because the primary copy of partition 0 was on node 1, and the backup was on node 4. This backup copy will be promoted to the primary copy, and our applications can carry on without any issues or delays. And with machine learning, like in Spark, we know that Spark uses the notion of RDDs, right, for data distribution and et cetera, et cetera. In Ignite for machine learning, we created so-called partition-based data sets. And that partition-based data set, generally, there is no any difference how the data is distributed. Let's say I am loading some that Titanic or like fraudulent transactions data sets into the cluster. As long as every record has a primary key, everything will be distributed across a cluster of machines. And that's what we have here, node 1, node 2. D implies data set, so like node 1 will store a subset of the data as well as node 2. And then also those data sets store the context of the training process, like information related, like the parameters, what's the, how much, like, and some other information crucial to be able to restart this process if anything fails. And let's say if node 1 fails, and then you had another node 3, then with the training process, it will be carried on. Because that node 3 might have stored a copy of the data, or it can preload that copy of the data from your local files and keep only that subset of the data that fits its data distribution, that fits into the partitions the data is in charge of. Okay, what's not available yet but will be released soon? It will be possible, you know, to take, let's say, Spark ML models and convert them into Ignite machine learning models. Because we still see that, as I said, we're not trying to compete with Spark. That's not a competition. Machine learning APIs for Ignite was developed for Ignite users, for those who use us as a distributed storage, etc., and those who'd like to have access to machine learning APIs without any data movement. But still, a lot of the users prefer using Spark. You can train your models with Spark, and then if you go in production with Ignite, take that model and turn it into the Apache Ignite model. And full Python support. It's already available for testing. It's available as part of GridGain. It's available through GridGain, a GitHub repository, but soon we will make it available via Ignite repository. And wrapping up, so like the quick summary. Why Ignite machine learning? To solve scalability problems, right? Ignite was designed to solve speed and scale problems. And we see that speed and scale problems are arising in the machine learning landscape as well. Also, when we are designing machine learning in Ignite, we were keeping in mind that the ETL, there should be a way to minimize our ETL or avoid it if it's possible, so that if a user wants, it can retrain the models in the same system. And full tolerance and continuous learning is available out of the box. More resources. Go to Apache Ignite documentation. As I've shown, just download Apache Ignite from the website, and there you will find all of those examples, advanced examples for machine learning. Those of you who are interested in TensorFlow, more details, we have documentation, and also there is a good article available on Medium that was written by one of our committers who was contributing this integration into Ignite. And finally, we are vibrant and growing community. If any of you would like, you know, to harden any skills related to distributed systems, distributed SQL, compute, ML, etc., welcome. Because Ignite, ISF reports some of the metrics. Based on some of the metrics, Ignite presently is one of the top five most active projects on the dev and mailing list, and we keep growing, and we'd like, you know, to get more people. And Ignite is being used across industries as a solution. FinTech, financial, retail, etc. You can find many customers and many use cases. And like if you come to Ignite, if you start contributing to Ignite, you also will be helping all of those companies to modernize their architectures, their systems with in-memory computing. Thanks.